think we need Seth to sing one of the old Beverly Shea solos. He's not singing bass, he's singing basement at this point. Would you turn with me, or I guess look up at the screen, at 2 Corinthians 9, 5, and 6. I want to explore the concept of sowing and reaping. And from the obvious agricultural metaphor, how do we apply that to the scriptural concept? And the key is in this passage, 2 Corinthians 9, 5, and 6. Therefore, the Apostle Paul says to the Corinthians, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that's his helpers, that they would go before unto you. He's going to send them there, talking about this offering they're going to take, and make up beforehand your bounty. This offering they were going to give to the Jerusalem church, Gentile churches, helping out the Jewish churches. Paul thought this would be really greatly, a helping, a blending of the church. And he was right in that sense, although it was at the very time that he gave the offering there in Jerusalem that he was arrested and sent to prison by the Jews. But he says, I want this offering to be made up beforehand, and he calls it your bounty, whereof you had noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not of covetousness. So he didn't want the offering to have the base of a covetousness, but rather of bounty. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. And the sowing and reaping goes back to how much seed do you sow out? If you go out, and are sparing with it, you should not be surprised, because not every seed germinates, not every plant grows to fullness. If you sow sparingly, you will reap sparingly. But on the other hand, if you grab a handful of that seed and just scatter it wide and do it bountifully, then you will reap bountifully. 1792, William Carey said, expect great things, attempt great things. That's the literal thing. We often say, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God. And that is what he meant. That's not exactly what he said. This year, I trust, are expecting great things. You find out at the annual business meeting that the Deacon Board has upped the budget, thinking we will grow, thinking that more money will come in. We need to cover certain things and all that, and we hope that money enough comes in to expand the mission work and so on. So we're expecting great things. Well, as William Carey said, we need to attempt great things as well. We need to attempt great things if we're expecting to see great things happen. It's true in other areas of our life, but tonight I'd like to focus on our giving. You and I should attempt great giving and expect God to bless us with great things. How are we to think about giving to God's church? Well, we must understand two things: the heart of giving and the faith of giving. And this passage gets into this, explores it a bit. Let's look then at the heart of giving. Will it be, what's going on in your heart as you give? Will it be blessing or covetousness? And he points this out in verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. This is a noun, feminine, which usually indicates a more abstract term. An invocation of blessing is its technical meaning. this is where you to invocate is to call in a blessing, you see. Whereof you had noticed before that the same might be ready, an adjective meaning prepared ready, already set up, see, as a matter of bounty, same as above, an invocation of blessing, and not as of covetousness. I think we understand covetousness, but it's a noun, again, feminine, and the idea behind it, a greedy desire to have more, avarice, greed. All right, the idea then of a heart of giving, one of the two things is going to dominate as you were in your heart of giving. So a prepared offering plans a blessing. You see, what he's saying here is, I want you to make it up beforehand so it'll be a bounty, so it'll be an invocation of blessing. So a prepared one. At the last minute, offering, I'll put something in. This is not that which gives you the opportunity to have prepared beforehand to make it a blessing. So a prepared offering plans a blessing. My wife and I don't leave these things up to randomness. We have settled on giving a tithe, and then we don't want to just make it according to the law, because then it's like, oh, now it's that much, you know. What we found is that you figure out the tithe and you round it up, and you say, I'll just give more, and that's my choice. That's up to me, see. And so that's what we give. And in doing that, we're taking the control. It's not, we have to do this much, you know. So it's a prepared offering that plans a blessing. Secondly, an unprepared offering will be based, or is often based, on covetousness. And that is, well, I could put this in, I better not give all of that. I'll need that. I'll just give this, you see. So the heart of giving needs to be one that takes this as a matter of thinking. What will I do for God? Give yourself a heart of giving based on bounty, based on blessing, rather than covetousness. The preparing of it ahead of time, the thinking of it through, allows this to be then your act of worship. And this, God says, he will bless because it comes from a heart that is a blessing. Then, secondly, the faith of giving. And let's recognize that the whole concept of sowing and reaping is based on a faith principle. You're throwing little particles out and intending to have plants grow up and you reap it in for your eating, for your selling, for your livelihood, for your family. But it's all based on that this action of tossing these little grains out is going to bring something back for you. The faith of giving, think of it this way, expecting God's blessing as a reward of giving with a heart of blessing. So if you have a heart of blessing, then you can expect God's blessing as a reward. If you're giving with a heart of covetousness, I don't think we can expect this. It has to be a matter of faith, expecting God's blessing. By faith, expecting God's blessing as a reward of what? Of putting money in the plate? Not necessarily, and certainly not only that, but giving as a prepared bounty, as an invocation of blessing. You put that in with a heart of blessing, and then by faith you can receive it. So he continues in verse 6, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly. This is an adverb modifying how you're sowing, and it the word certainly means sparingly, the idea of just a little bit. So how are you sowing? Well, just hesitantly. Shall reap also sparingly. he which soweth bountifully, and here we go back to the word, meaning literally upon a blessing, shall reap also bountifully. The sowing then is based upon that whole concept of blessing that we saw earlier. So Matthew 6:26, behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap. This adds the third dimension to what Paul is saying here. There's actually three things that could happen. You may sow bountifully, and then you would reap bountifully if it's done upon a blessing, the heart of blessing. Or you may sow sparingly. That's the heart of covetousness that says, well, I don't want to give it all away, so I'll just this little bit. But you could be like the unthinking birds of the air and not give at all. You could not sow at all. But according to this principle, you neither will you reap, you see. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them, are ye not much better than they? God knows they're just birds, you know. Really hard for them to get that whole sowing machine going. Sowing machine, there's a word for you. But the idea of, the birds involved in farm work, I think they do a lot of that accidentally, not on purpose. I have an extended quote from Albert Barnes, and I just thought, instead of me preaching, I just let him preach because he said it so well. He says this, he which soweth sparingly. Paul here says that it is in giving as it is in agriculture. You see that whole connection. A man that sows little must expect to reap little. If he sows a small piece of land, he will reap a small harvest. Or if he is niggardly in sowing and wishes to save his seed and will not commit it to the earth, he must expect to reap little. Can we just settle on that thinking, you see? There is an actual difference in the amount you give once you have settled on making it a planned giving and a plan for blessing. He goes on. So it is in giving. Money given in alms, charities, money bestowed to aid the poor and needy, or to extend the influence of virtue and pure religion. Is money bestowed in a way similar to the act of committing seed to the earth? It will be returned again in some way with an abundant increase. It shall not be lost. That's the thought of covetousness. I put this in the plate and I'm losing it, you see. He says, no, that's not the way it works. In sowing the seed, the farmer tries to get all the seed he can to sow it out so that the bounty will be great. It shall not be lost. The seed may be buried long. It may lie in the ground with no indication of return or increase. One who knew not the arrangements of Providence might suppose it was lost and dead. But in due time, it shall spring up and produce an ample increase. He goes on, so with money given to objects of benevolence, to many it may seem to be a waste or may appear to be thrown away. This is how the world looks at it. But in due time, it will be repaid in some way with abundant increase. And the man who wishes to make the most out of his money for future use and personal comfort will give liberally to deserving objects of charity, just as the man who wishes to make the most out of his grain will not suffer it to lie in his granary, but will commit the seed to the fertile earth. The wise man Solomon said, Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. So after that, and this is still Albert Barnes, that is when the waters, as of the Nile, have overflowed the banks and flooded the whole adjacent country, then is the time to cast abroad thy seed. The waters will retire, the seed will sink into the accumulated fertile mud that is deposited, and will spring up in an abundant harvest. So it is with that which is given for objects of benevolence. Let us then think of the sowing, the giving, as was Paul's intention with the Corinthians, as that investment. When Barnes says, for a man who wishes to make the most out of his money for future use, can you recognize that the ultimate future use is in heaven? God keeps count of all this and, of course, receives the offering as given to him. And so for future use and for personal comfort, I don't think you can make a better investment because it goes right to your heavenly account. People say you can't take it with you, and that's true, but you can send it ahead. And whatever it is, it's the blessing. It's the it's God's way of giving you all that is needed and wanted there in the heavenly realm. So we've seen the three categories: no sowing, no reaping. We've seen spare sowing, spare reaping. And then sowing blessing and reaping blessing. And so we reap what we sow. If you were to sow, I remember Nancy when we were meeting at our house, was always trying to keep our front flower bed going. And so I forget what it was. It was something, you bought something and tossed it out with wildflowers or something like this. And then a bunch of weeds came up and she says, oh no, they mixed they had the weeds mixed in with that. She didn't know. So she was like the her own enemy sowing tares among the wheat. the poor seed. Well, the point is that what you sow is what you reap. And the point that we want to emphasize is that don't get into the habit of sowing with covetousness. Get into the habit of sowing with the invocation of blessing. God bless us in this. Here, let this be a blessing as I give it, and God will make it a blessing as he returns it. Listen to these verses, Galatians 6, 7-9. He says, be not deceived, and as I always try to remind you, when he says this is because this is the area where you're most likely to be deceived. This is where the world gets it so wrong. You've got to think of this God's way. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And here he's talking about the quality of what you sow. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. We often actually think this way, I can't give it to God. I've got myself to feed. I've got myself to do, you know. And there is just a tendency for us to say, I've got to take care of number one. And once I have everything I could possibly want, then I can give something else away. I'll start a Gates Foundation or something and be able to give money away. But he says, if you sow to the flesh, it's only from the flesh that you'll reap. And you'll reap corruption, rottenness, that which decays. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing. I'm so tired of giving, giving, and giving. Don't be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not, if we don't stop, if we don't give up, to faint away, you see, with weariness. Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and then running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, that you measure to others, withal shall it be measured to you again. Luke 16:11. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, the things of money, who will commit to your trust the true riches? He said, well, I don't feel like God is really giving me the blessings that I desire. Well, have you been faithful to him with the money that he entrusted you with? If he sees, I mean, you know, if they knew that Judas was stealing the money, they wouldn't have put any more money in the bag he was holding. If God says, well, I see what they're doing with the money, I don't think I can trust them with any more blessing. Proverbs 11:24. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth. This is, you know, not the way the world thinks. And there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. And there's a lot of poverty that is caused by the greedy withholding of things. Matthew 6:19-24. Listen to this. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. You're just saying don't do it. Where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. It's been pointed out to us that the moth doesn't eat the clothes that you're wearing. It's the stored up clothes where you have more than enough. Rust doesn't corrupt the tools you're using, you see. But where it's an abundance and you're not using it, that's where the rust comes into it. And then thieves break through and steal. That's the luxurious items that, you know, I told people that our house was thief-proof because there was no luxurious items to steal. I proved that wrong. They came in and stole some practical things, but that's all right. He says, instead of that, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, nor where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. What is it that you're, where is your heart, you see? What is it that you treasure, is his question. And so if it comes down to what you have here, then you have a problem. Because this is the stuff that dissolves and just sifts through your fingers, and you have nothing at the end. It's all temporary. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, if thine eye be single, focused, thine whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, the evil eye, we did a study some time back, is covetousness. The evil eye is looking at what other people have and say, I wish I had that. The old ancient civilization considered the evil eye to be a curse. And so if somebody look at you and say, I wish I had that, you know, they may be scheming against you for all you know. And they considered it a curse. If thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? The eye focused on covetousness, then the only hope for yourself for light is when the eye is focused on something. But when it's focused on that which brings darkness, how great is that darkness? No man can serve two masters. Spurgeon pointed out that this isn't that you can't serve more than two people. All of us serve more than two people, just in the government alone. More than two people. The point is you can't serve two masters. The point is here being master. Who is in final control? And he says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve, and here's the two masters, God and Mammon. Albert Barnes again says, Mammon is a Syriac word, a name given to an idol worshipped as the god of riches. You have the god of riches. Let's make it a giant golden dollar sign. And you see all the people bowing down before it. It has the same meaning as Plutus among the Greeks. It is not known that the Jews ever formally worshipped this idol, but they used the word to denote wealth. The meaning is you cannot serve the true God and at the same time be supremely engaged in obtaining the riches of this world. One must interfere with the other. So Christ here tells us that the idea of laying up treasures on earth is wrong. We should save money for emergencies, but we must not treasure it. See, that's when the focused eye is receiving only the darkness. In darkness, you don't see what you're doing. You can't tell how it's working out. What should we do? He says, send your treasures to heaven, because that's where your heart longs to go. Treasuring money on earth is actually bowing down and serving the god Mammon. Let's bring this to a conclusion. We must not consider having money as the greatest good. We must consider using our money as the potential for the greatest good. Do you see the difference? Having money or using money. Having it or using it. You know, the miser going through his gold coins. Ah, you know, mine, mine, mine. And we are saying, oh, great, I got this money in because John Weigel Ministries needs it, you know. Oh, great, here's something I can help out with. We are to give as if we are sowing a blessing. You're planting a blessing. You're giving up on this that you're planting, but you're planting a blessing, and you expect to reap that kind of blessing from God. Just as the farmer can choose how much seed he will sow, so also we can choose. God challenges us to trust him to bless us greatly when we sow greatly. It's actually just a matter of faith, not mathematics. You see. Are you giving then from a heart that desires to be a blessing, or from a heart of covetousness that just desires more for self? Are you trusting God with that generous gift, or are you trusting in money to keep you safe and well? It's a poor idol to keep you safe and well. Are you willing to commit all that you have into the hands of God? It's not giving up everything, you know, selling all that you have and giving it to the poor. It's not doing that. It's committing it all to him. Will you decide to give with a heart of blessing? Give to be the blessing, and a faith that believes God is in control. Let's bow for prayer. We ask, Father, that you might open our eyes to the truth, as the world is so dominated by the concept of money, and we'll have to look at us like we must be some sort of maniacs. We pray that you might help us to recognize that it's not insane to sow the seed that we can't keep anyway. It is not insane to give to be a blessing to others when we recognize that your principle, you who created the universe and the principle at the heart of it, is that that will return a blessing, a like-kind blessing, back to us. I ask, Father, that you might help us then to see things the way you see things, to recognize that as we design what our giving will be, that we will trust you to take care of us as we seek to be a blessing to others. We pray that you might help us in this matter then of sowing and reaping. With heads bowed and eyes closed, would you say, Pastor, there is a decision I need to make to focus more on the heart of blessing rather than covetousness, so that I plan it out, plan it beforehand, and the faith, the heart of faith that says, I'll trust in the Lord to meet my needs. If that's your prayer, I wonder if you'd slip your hand up, say, pray with me concerning that. I'd like to determine to be that before God tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, then we commit this to you. We ask that you might help us to see that broad picture, that picture throughout eternity. One day we will stand outside of this world's realm and perhaps grieve that so much that you allowed to pass through our hands was wasted on the things of earth that now have all burned up. I ask that you might help us to recognize, in fact, that the greatest blessing we can be to ourselves is to be a blessing to others here, that we might, in fact, be able to receive that blessing in the eternity to come. Guide and direct us then, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.